was at the Lake of the Ozarks over the weekend, little Memorial Day trip, and you'll love this, Bloom. I love our advertisers, but I love our listeners. I was at the grocery store. There is like, it's got this massive alcohol section because, you know, do the math.
Makes sense.
When in Rome.
Yep.
And some guy did a hit and run with me. Didn't introduce himself or anything. And he yells, "There ain't no Cody Road." I think he had been drinking all night.
Didn't even say hi?
Nope.
Love it.
He like giggled and ran off. It was wild. Indeed, no Cody Road there. That was a big, big miss by that. I believe it was a Hy-Vee in Osage Beach, Missouri. So
still time for them.
Yeah, still time. So there you go. I'm back from the Ozarks. Bloom has been back just doing the family thing all weekend.
And I am so glad to be here tonight.
We are presented, as always, by our friends at MacDine and the MacDine Corporation. Let's get after it. I think I'm going to blow your mind tonight, Bloom. I've got a theory on Iowa State athletics going into the new Big 12 we're going to run by. There's some really interesting data on Colorado since its time in the Big 12 that surfaced on Twitter. I want to talk about that. And I also have another NIL story for you that will tie into my football-basketball debate that I want to have about BYU not paying its players. Let's get after it. With a little English here on your Memorial Day. Sports, yeah. Bom, bom.
Did you see any live music? And
yeah, guy on Friday night was playing at the Neon Taco.
Probably no English. Excuse me now?
It's a place to call it, Neon Taco.
Okay. Good name.
Mexican food right
no
there.
No Estas, but...
No, it's not as good as Estas. So
remember the cheese balls at Estas, the original? Yeah. Nothing against the new location.
The original was where it
just,
was at.
It was the best. Midnight, Welch Ave, just walk in there, get some cheese balls and like the $2 beers.
When I lived on Welch, every once in a while I would stop at Estas and get a beer on my way back from class. It's like $2 during the day.
That's great.
Oh, why not? What else are you doing? Yeah. You only live once, kids. YOLO.
I wish I would have gone to Iowa State for 5 or 6 years. Now that I think about it, I had this conversation the other day with a guy, a young guy was reaching out. He's in college.
If you can go longer, go longer.
He's like, well, how do, because, and I love it when people reach out, like, how do I get where you are? I'm like, boy, aim higher than that.
People want to be ahead of a collective? People actually want that job?
I hope not.
Jesus.
But just more of a...
I always tell people that you have the worst job in sports.
There's a good week.
Everybody's just mad all the time.
No, actually.
Nobody understands what you do.
This was a really cool week. We had 15 guys go to Special Olympics.
Oh, cool. Yeah, that stuff.
It was awesome. Like, it was really cool. They loved it. The Special Olympics athletes were phenomenal. But anyway, and I said, well, first of all, don't get out as soon as you can. Like, soak it in a little bit. Take that extra semester. Why not? That extra half year is not going to hurt your 401k that much. That's my advice.
But here's my
other advice with that, which I told him.
Unless you have something like rock solid lined up.
And I would say this, and this I'm being legitimate here. Use that extra 6 months or 9 months or a year to then develop relationships while you're still in college.
Yeah,
so like
it's good advice.
Reach out to people, do an internship, do an unpaid stuff. They don't care what your GPA is. They care about who you are. Anywho, onward.
I mean, I haven't hired that many people at Cyclone. I've always just hired interns, but I've never once asked them what their grades are.
What do you think Stansberry's GPA was?
Average. I think it was average. I think he did fine. I don't think he was the stupidest guy in class, but I don't think he was, like, acing it either.
No Jeff Woody.
Because, frankly, I don't think Stansberry was probably studying a whole lot. Like,
and that's okay.
And if he was, I probably wouldn't have hired him, because that's not what we're looking for.
Deadlines don't matter. I mean, you can, yeah. Anyway.
Different type of deal these days. Welcome to the pod. Memorial Day. I hope you've had a phenomenal weekend. Again, thanks to our great sponsor, MechDyne and the MechDyne Corporation. I'm heading up to have some lunch at MechDyne on Friday of this week. Good people up there. I always love my trips to Marshalltown. In fact, I hired a guy from Marshalltown to redo my deck coming up here in a couple weeks. There shout out to them. Also want to give a shout out to our friend Hope Wood. Go to hopewoodjd.com. Last week, we had a record week of signups of people getting their wills. A record week.
I was having a lunch with somebody last week, and they said, "You know what? I'd never thought about it. I'm gonna get my estate figured out with Hope Wood."
Yeah, we had a record week, four people in one week.
it just shows
insane.
She's been advertising for 2 years.
Yeah,
take some time.
Yeah,
but hey, you never know when the tipping point is when you need it.
But if you do go there, you can use the promo code Fanatic. Again, that's Fanatic, and you can get $50 off of your will in a day package. She also did putting some heat on us that we need to get our.
I know. I'm. I
just to
I
quit know. Talking about yeah, it, and we
I
will
get my kid signed up. We for kindergarten too. It's all part of the plan.
We will hope everybody, calm down. Everybody, calm down. So I was having lunch with a couple of friends last week, and we're talking about the new Big 12, and this is where I want to start today's program. I'm going to intellectually tickle your Cyclone loving brains today. And we can have this debate on the Cyclone Fanatic forums. You can comment wherever you're listening to your podcast, whatever. And we're talking about the new Big 12. So, like, when I think the new Big 12, it's not next year. It's minus Texas and Oklahoma.
Sure.
Okay. And if you even want, we can throw the four corner schools in there. Like, sure, they can be a part of it. Like,
at least let's throw Colorado and Arizona in there, right?
Yeah. Okay. And, you know, we're debating... It wasn't a football versus basketball thing. It was just like, okay, where does Iowa State fit in this new league just in general? Okay. And I came to the conclusion, and it sounded a little bit crazy at first, and then we all started to talk about it. And these were smart guys I was with.
Been around. Been around?
Yes.
Know the landscape.
Know the industry. Yep. Yes. And I actually think, now there's a huge caveat here. Not to say if Matt Campbell were ever to leave Iowa State that the football program is going to go in the dumps, because I do not believe that. I think that it's good enough now, facility-wise. There's infrastructure there.
Yeah, this isn't the Dave McCartney.
Correct.
Era.
Like, I think it's a deal where it's like somebody would want that job, right? Like,
agreed.
But I do believe that if Matt Campbell, let's say, is here for another 5 to 6 years, or 7 years, or whatever. He has footing now. He's laid roots. There's, you know, that continuity, all that stuff. And now you're going into this new Big 12, where it's not perfect. It's not perfect. But you have this foundation, you have this fan base, you have this, they love their recruiting. And, you know, every time I talk to those guys, they love these young recruiting classes, all this stuff. I think if Campbell, let's say Campbell stays for the next 10 years, okay?
Okay.
I know that that's a long time.
That's a long time.
I get it. I understand that.
Yep.
I think Iowa State football in the new Big 12 could be in a better position consistently than basketball. Now, maybe it doesn't have the same top end, because basketball, you get hot in the tournament and you can go to a Final Four, right?
Well, the tournament's a bad way to determine best team.
Basketball could be a perennial top 30 team every year and never win the Big 12. What I'm saying is in this new Big 12 in football, you're punching at your own weight for the most part. Now, there's certain programs with other advantages that Iowa State will never have. But that's the confidence I have in the Campbell staff. I truly do. I think if they have that continuity for that long in this new league, with the resources that Iowa State now has compared to its peers, it's not perfect. Baylor's going to have more. TCU's going to have more, and NIL. And all.
It will.
But Look around the rest of the league. I don't think Cincinnati, like, I think that they'll be really good in 5 years. It's going to take them a while. And I don't know about their new coach.
I wouldn't put Cincinnati that much ahead of Iowa State, if at all.
Now, if Fickell would have stayed, I would have said they're in a really good spot. But I don't know. Think about this, though. Like, I think UCF could be a bear. They could be a little bit of a bear.
They could.
Or they could be a flop. Like, it could take them 5 years to get their footing. Telling you, you got to have that continuity.
That's a really good question.
And then the basketball deal, it's not a shot at odds. It's not a shot at Iowa State basketball. Very successful. You're going up against Hall of Famers every night. It's a basketball league.
Yeah, and there are resources dedicated to basketball.
If they're going 10-8 every year in this league, you guys listening will bitch. Eventually, you will get mad about that. Where if Iowa State football is going 7-5, 8-4, consistently. Now, I'm not talking like last year there was a down year. This year could be a down year. Let's wait and see. I'm saying I think Campbell can get to a point in this new Big 12 where that is just who they are. It's kind of like Iowa in the Big 10 now, right?
Yeah, that's really interesting. So maybe the floor is higher for football than basketball. And you know, I think basketball, it is the best basketball league. And football, it certainly won't be.
No.
And so I think that's basically what it comes down to, right?
Yeah, and your expectations and all that stuff.
If you're ranking football, okay, let's remove Texas and Oklahoma. We're taking them out. Okay, I'm gonna do a power ranking for potential football stability programs. I'm going CETA, I'm going TCU 1. Like, I agree. I think with their resources, their location, everything about TCU, their donor base, they are above everybody else in this new league.
Their donor base is that good? I mean, you would know. I don't know.
It's high.
It's all rich people.
It's high end. Yeah. Right. Okay. So it's not numbers.
Yeah.
They don't.
We have more numbers.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's high end.
It's their rich guys.
So it's like, so when they built, just to give you an example.
If Iowa State has 5 rich guys, they have 50.
Correct. Yeah. It's probably like 10 times the wealth guys.
Okay.
And that, in this new era, I don't know. I mean, it'd be interesting to see what, if you ask them, it's like Jamie tells a story. The Texas AD wants our fan base.
We want
donor base.
We want the oil man.
It's right. It's kind of tomato tomato there. But I think TCU football wise is going to be solid. I think Baylor should be solid. Just again, Texas, Houston. Man, I don't know their fan base situation, but gosh, you'd think they have the resources with their location to be really good.
Oh, they got the mattress guy.
Well, they got a mattress. Yeah, they got Mattress Mac.
Yeah, the mattress guy.
But they just don't seem to care as much, which is interesting. UCF, I agree there. But then it's like, are you taking Kansas football over Iowa State? No. Are you taking K-State? Probably right. I mean, they're our brother. Yeah. Like, okay, we'll hem and haw with them.
Well, if we're being honest, they have a better football tradition than Iowa State, though.
At least in the last 25 years.
Which is what matters.
But in the last 10, it's been pretty even.
Yes. No doubt about that.
And
although they won a championship,
they did.
Give them credit for that.
Yep. And Kleiman's been good. Just signed him to that extension. I'm trying to think who. Like, are you taking Colorado, Arizona? Should they come? No.
But again, like
Cincinnati,
in basketball,
no.
Like
West Virginia,
like,
no.
It's another blue blood type in basketball,
right?
That you
basketball.
Would be adding. And then you have Houston. You know, like it. It's hard.
It'll be interesting to see.
And can I have one more point?
Yes.
One more point real quick?
Yes.
You're smarter than me. I'd love to ask Jamie Pollard about this at some point. But these uneven schedules in basketball will hurt the league. Mm. As far as RPI and all that stuff goes. It's going
to. It could, yeah.
It has to.
It's going to drag it down.
I just think it's going to be harder to do like the 8-10 thing and get to the NCAA tournament with the uneven league.
That is a really good point. BYU and UCF and Cincinnati, it's not their fault, but it's going to drag it down.
It is.
It's dragging it even next year. Like
that will be the talk next year, and it's not necessarily an easier league, but that will just be what the data indicates because of that.
Yeah, it's just a number thing.
Yeah.
I mean, if let's say UCF's 85 in net or RPI, that's going to drag it down. You did not have anybody, I think, below 65 this year. So it just becomes an algorithm deal.
And it's still hard to win on the road.
It is. And it's not going to be an easier win in Orlando.
No.
That's a long-ass flight. Mm-hmm. I do think it's an interesting deal. Like, I'm really curious. UCF, let's say, as compared to Florida State. I think this is a fascinating. Who would you rather be right now? You know, because Florida State's going to be down potentially $15 million from UCF. UCF still in Florida, arguably. I've been to both. Orlando's actually, and I don't love Orlando, but Orlando's probably in a better spot than Tallahassee.
Orlando's the worst city I've ever been to.
It's not
other than Raleigh.
It's not that bad. Cincinnati, I mean, you've got a lot of advantages there being in Ohio, but you're still second fiddle in the state to Ohio State and then the teams in the Big Ten. And then BYU, I'm not sure. I mean, I'm not threatened by BYU in basketball because it's not like that's going to really move the needle recruiting for them that much.
No, BYU's recruiting base, they're going to get the same players.
Right. It's going to be about the same. Even football, it's going to be about the same. Now, will they be on par with Iowa State? I think so, football-wise. I think those two will be pretty competitive. But I don't see BYU being the Lavelle Edwards BYU from the 80s either.
Oh, my
God. Like, I think that ship has passed.
Been reading the book about that.
I mean, an amazing freaking program, crazy. Really, with the Detmers and everything else. But that's
really
not
incredible.
That's not.
I mean, Hal Mumme was the guy in the background there. Did you know that?
I did know that.
In the summers, Hal would go there and use their facilities. And, like, he would. Because Hal was always at these little run of the mill places that didn't have technology. So then, like, Hal Mumme and Leach would just be hanging out in Provo in the summers, like, working up their schemes and stuff.
That's
pretty cool.
It is really cool. But I love
those old stories.
I think football wise, you might be onto it. Because I encourage people, and I've said this on this podcast before, travel around to the other sites in the Big 12. The fan base at Iowa State is really unique. It is.
Yeah, no, it really is.
When Texas and Oklahoma leave, you're going to be top of the charts for fan base.
Yeah, now,
Tech's got a good fan base.
Yep. I think Tech, Oklahoma State, like there's
Oklahoma
a lot
of State, similarities there, yep.
And I'm not necessarily saying Iowa State's better football job than all these locations. What I'm saying is, again, I'm factoring in the continuity thing. Because Campbell's got roots here. He gets it.
The system is in place.
I've talked to TJ before about this. It's like it's so much easier to win when you've been to a place because you know how to win there. You know what to do and what not to do. Campbell knows all that by now. I don't think Campbell's staff's going to go out and out-recruit all these teams, but I'm not convinced that they're going to out-coach them either. Right, I think Iowa State's right there as far as the coaching goes. Is every year going to be 10 wins? No, that's not what I'm saying. I think in this new league,
you're going to be right there.
Consistently being 7-8 wins is going to be very manageable.
Very possible. I agree. And it's a lot of it's going to be scheduling.
Yep.
Okay.
This year's schedule sucks, by the way.
It does. Yeah, don't base the new Big 12 success on this year because it's – in Texas and Oklahoma are still around. They're going to leave, and then it'll even out. I do think, and again, I hate to compare everything to Iowa, but I do think there's something to be said that there's no reason that the Campbell staff can't do that every year. You know, 6 wins is the bottom. You get up to 9-10 wins.
Like, and they were,
should be there.
They were painfully close to 6 wins last year. And it didn't feel like it. But you were right there, these games.
I am really excited about Iowa State's place in football because maybe more than any other time, it's like even in 2020, right? It was a lot of things came together. You had COVID. You had Texas was a little down. You probably could have beat Oklahoma, and you did at home. But always, Oklahoma and Texas were just going to be up here. They're just going to be above you, and there's no chasing that. Now, I mean, I'm taking Campbell staff against pretty much everybody. I mean, I'm not, you're not the top. Like, I still say TCU and Baylor and Houston and
Kansas State even. I mean,
they got some advantages, like, but there's, if you flip a coin, you know, there's nothing to say you can't win 5 out of every 10 years.
I also think Oklahoma State's, they're trending down now.
The Gundy thing is.
I don't think he's cut out for the new era. They're going to be. He's a great coach. Like I'm not. I just don't think he's going to be there for the next 5-6 years winning championships.
So
just
on,
my opinion.
On that point, I think this will be super interesting for Iowa State.
Baylor
fans.
Has a brighter future than Oklahoma State.
I think I agree with that. Well, they've had more success in the last 5.
And I'm saying in the next 5, I think that they're stronger.
This will be an interesting couple of years, I think, for schools in the Big 12. Because when you remove Texas and Oklahoma, you're going to remove some of the sexiness, right? Absolutely. Like, you just are. I do think the fans that support their programs, football, basketball, all of them, and still draw attendance and still support ticket-wise and fundraising-wise and NIL-wise are really... It may not pay dividends right away, but I think it will 5 years from now. And so I think it's vital for Iowa State fans. I know this schedule is not the best this year as far as win-loss, and I know season tickets are a little bit down, okay? I think it's vital if Iowa State wants to be in that top third of the new Big 12. This is the time to support, because it may not pay off this next year, this next 12 months, but I think it will 3, 4, 5 years from now. And those recruits that see fan bases that support and they see all of the parameters that Iowa State can have that these other schools don't, and that is the wide foundation of an Iowa State fan base, can really be successful here, because you aren't dealing with Texas, who's always going to have more money than you. You can get there. You can be in the same range as these schools. And so then it comes down to a comparison of what's the support like? Do I enjoy being there? And what's the coaching staff? And Iowa State, there's no reason why they can't be there for both football and basketball.
I want to give a shout out, and then I want to bring up the NIL portion of this, because we have a new story out of Provo.
Saw this today.
That has come out, and I just think it's fascinating as we see more and more of this. Mm-hmm. But let's do a quick shout out to my buddy Jeremy Danielson, DanielsonLaw.com, DanielsonLaw.com is where you can find all of his information. The thing that these guys are pushing right now is really just brilliant. It's vacation time. And a lot of people, I worked some when we were down there. It's like, you know, now that the work from home thing, it's, I probably encourage you people, if you're going on vacation, not to work as much as I do. But some people, you just can't control it. You know, websites never close. Yeah. Yep. If you need a notary, they can do it online. It's a phenomenal service right here in Des Moines, DanielsonLaw.com, but that's where they're located. You don't have to be in Des Moines. You can be in the Caribbean.
Yeah, the real estate market doesn't stop.
The real estate market does not stop. DanielsonLaw.com. Also, give a shout out to our friends at GravitateCoworking.com. Check them out at GravitateCoworking.com. Get the hell out of your house. You all are going stir crazy. I'm tired of hearing Bloom talk about it all the time.
This weekend was rough.
My God, you need it more than anybody.
I do need to get
it. It's unbelievable.
I need to get out of the house.
Get to Gravitate Coworking.
You just can't take the dogs every day.
So remember when this story broke and everybody's like, oh my God, we're never going to be able to keep up. BYU's paying walk-ons. Yeah,
that was like the first month out.
Uh-huh.
They were going to finance their entire walk-ons with a scholarship.
And can I pat myself on the back?
You never stopped to before.
Thank you. I put it right on a tee for you. I believe I was saying at this point, like, this is great. I'd love to see how long this guy's going to keep paying walk-ons. Uh-huh. Right? Like, with all, like, that's my whole deal with this, like, the Texas A&M deal. Mm-hmm. They better win. I mean, they better mm-hmm. win this year, because mm-hmm. these, you know, you don't become a $100 million dude by just pissing away your money all the time. You know, and I heard another story from a friend who's in the business last week about a basketball coach who let one donor specifically buy a player. This was in the ACC, if anybody's wondering. And if that player didn't turn out to be as good, or if the team wasn't as bad, but then you have like these boosters like calling you, like the coaches, and being like, why isn't my guy playing who I paid X amount of money for, right? So this protein bar company in Utah. It's called Built Bar. Yeah. You remember them?
I remember the story right when NIL came out.
So they were going to pay the tuition for every walk-on,
right,
for BYU student athletes. Football. This is just a football thing.
Yep.
And then everybody else.
Because their CEO is a former football player, I think, or anyway.
Yep. And then the scholarship guys, so there's 85 of them, would each get $1,000 for this NIL deal. And then he was also giving, I'm reading this, 15% of their proceeds from the Cougar Tail Bar.
Apparently sales weren't that good.
Would go directly to players who signed NIL contracts with the company. These guys haven't been paid yet.
Yikes.
According to reports.
And it's from the players that were that are frustrated.
Correct.
Yeah, not good.
So
worst case.
I guess, and I'm not poking the bear with our friends at Provo, I bring this up in conjunction with our Big 12 conversation, because you would know better than anybody about where Iowa State fits in this landscape.
Yeah.
And, couple of savvy, Iowa State got a quarterback last week. We haven't even talked about that.
Yes.
The Auburn kid, we talked about this last week on the podcast, Brent, where Campbell, we're kind of starting to see where he wants to do this with some of these transfers, guys who they recruited the first time around, right? But you know more than, there's not guys on Iowa State's team that are making $2 million a year. This isn't anything like that.
No.
Football wise, where did this I just feel like in this new league, you're just so much more on a level playing field.
And I agree. And it's the issue is, and I get this question occasionally, it's like, I don't know. I wish I had an answer. Like, you hear rumors, you're like, oh, well, this team's got X amount. Here's what I know. The big dogs, right? So, your top 15
to 20 programs.
20 programs. Mm-hmm. I'm throwing Iowa in this.
Yeah.
Kudos to Iowa, because they are NIL. They've done a phenomenal job in raising money. Even the guy's been boisterous.
Yeah.
It has worked as far as just raising money. Now, you could argue there's been some negatives to that, but from a pure dollars and cents, they've raised a lot of money. The minimum to be in that top 15 to 20 is about $10 million per year in NIL.
Yeah.
So, and you're looking at some football programs that have $10 million on their own. I heard... just for an example, there are a couple SEC basketball programs that have half that just in basketball. So just imagine what they're working with in football. Here's our goal. I'll be honest. Our goal every year is $3 million to raise an NIL.
For everyone.
For everything.
Yeah.
For all sports. Now, we're doing men's and women's basketball and football. Since I've started, August 1, we've raised about two-thirds of that. Okay? So we're... Again, beyond what I thought we could do, but I'm happy with where we are, knowing we need to get to $3 million. In my opinion, Chris, $3 million per year would put us square in the middle of the new Big 12, just based on kind of what you hear.
And then you have faith in the coaches and athletic department and the fans, too.
Absolutely. And yeah. So that's where I come back to. It's like, okay, so then how do you do it? Like, there is a formula here. Now, you've got – it's interesting – where you've got, let's say, Kansas basketball is going to be more than their football program because they care and they've had more success in basketball. So they're probably allocating more resources to basketball. Or you might have another example where, maybe Cincinnati cares more about football. I don't know.
Yeah.
But from what I understand, that $3 to $4 million would put a square in about the middle of our peers. In my opinion, if we're in the middle of our peers, the coaches and the culture take us in the top third. So that's my goal. That's mm-hmm. our goal at We Will. We got to get in the middle of the pack. We can't be last.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to be first,
mm-hmm.
but if we can be in the middle, and so what that means...
Punching at your weight.
You got to punch at your weight. It's the same... Exactly. So you're going to have some up years and some down years, but you got to be able to compete in that middle. And, I think where Iowa State's advantage is the sheer number of fans that want to be involved. So, again, I'll just have honest hour here. We're up to about 3,000 donors, which is awesome. Okay, there's 8,000 Cyclone Club donors. So there's 5,000 people that do Cyclone Club that have not contributed to We Will, which, again, people can allocate their money as they want. But our biggest concern now is, all right, we can get through the next 9 to 12 months with what we've fundraised for. But then what does next year look like? What does 2 years look like?
Mm-hmm.
And these are where these collectors are really struggling, is they'll get that influx of cash early.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're bringing it in, like this BYU, I'll fund you guys, we're gonna be good. And then the built bar doesn't bring in as much as they thought, and now they're going, I don't have the money anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so those guys that commit with that expectation, they expect it the next year too. And so the biggest thing that we can build an advantage at Iowa State, and really any collective for that matter, is that recurring amount. So I keep telling people, yes, I love the one-time gifts, but if you can give $10, $20 a month or whatever, you can really separate Iowa State, because then you can project, not only am I getting the money this month, for NIL. But I will know in April of 2024.
What do you have coming in?
That we'll have that too. And so recruiting doesn't stop. And so what these guys, you know, these recruits are coming on campus now, and again, I'll get off my soapbox here, and they'll tell them, here, this is what guys in our program are getting in NIL. The goal is for have you to have the same amount. And so on the good news, with the amount we've raised, we're going to give every single football men's and women's basketball player a base compensation this year, which is awesome. Thank you to We Will Donors for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to try and do that every single year.
Yeah.
Because to your point, we funded a lot of this. It's like a 70-30 rule. So 70% of the money comes from 30% of the donors.
Yeah.
But those are the ones you don't know if they can keep doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, again, I'm just being honest with people. Like, NIL, it's becoming, it's not the new toy as much as it was 6 months ago, but it's still important if you want to be punching at your own weight.
Yeah, I just...
And that's where the you're right, though.
That's more where the... Like, in my opinion, like, what you're talking about is more sustainable business-wise than just counting on the rich guys every year to be like, hey, we need another million.
Correct.
Because, like, stock markets go up and down. Like, business isn't always good. Maybe somebody got sick in the family. Like, and then, those are the guys with egos, right? So, like, if you're not winning, like, they may get pissed because they don't...
You're exactly right.
They think that Pollard should fire this coach or... I mean, look, just using that as an example.
No, for sure.
And you know what I'm saying? Like, I get what you mean.
And if you go... Let's just be hypothetical. If you go 4-8 again...
Yeah. Oh, there's going to be people wanting Matt fired.
Well, not only that, but there's going to be those again, the 30% that's raising the most dollars may not contribute as much. That's why base comes in. And so,
there's people listening right now who probably give, and they feel ownership now.
Yeah, which is the best.
And they go, it's the best when you're going 10-2.
Yeah, but if
it can be the worst when you're 3-9, yes, and they go, what are we paying for?
I get that. But I'll tell you, the $10-$20 a month gifts, that is going to separate Iowa State from the rest of the pack for the exact reason.
You have to play to your strengths.
Yeah, and that's our strength. And I would like
you have to know your own weakness too.
So you mentioned that. So we're probably middle of the pack, maybe even bottom half of the pack in the Big 12 right now in NIL. But I know for a fact we're in the top third in numbers. So our 3,000 donors or whatever it is in
awesome.
The top 15% of all national programs.
That's awesome.
But we don't have Phil Knight, you know, that can just write a check to fund the whole
thing. What about Mattress Mac?
We don't have Mattress, but that's what I'm saying. Like, we can't stop now. And I know we've hopefully shown that we're trying to allocate resources responsibly. But no, I do think the advantage Iowa State can have, and back to tie this whole thing together, the fan base, the numbers, everything about Iowa State can put it in the top half going forward in football for sure.
Is my has my point been made that I
have never been more optimistic about Iowa State football.
I am too.
I just, again,
and don't think this is your shot at basketball. My point is Ott's and those guys, like, I have all the faith in the world. They could be top 25 every year and never win and go like 10-8. You know, like, and I just know how fans are. You see my point?
I do.
It's really hard in that league, especially if you go and get UConn and whoever.
So on that same point, you're almost going to have to readjust your expectations of football as compared to basketball. You know, where it used to be, you could have the Larry Eustachier in basketball and win a couple titles in a row.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
In football, you're always going to be behind Nebraska, Texas, Oklahoma.
Well,
now it's different.
I also don't necessarily know if I want Arizona and UConn in the league because they'll give more to basketball than football.
It's true.
That makes it harder for you to compete in basketball. And when you're talking 13 compared to 85 scholarships, again, I hope the audience understands my point here. The economics of it make it more challenging for Iowa State in basketball in this new league where you are the SEC.
Yes.
You are the SEC, but we're still Iowa State. In Big 12 football, you can be one of the middle guys.
Yep.
You're never going to be a middle guy in Big 12 basketball. You're just financially, you're just not. You see my point?
I do.
Okay.
Very interesting. Again, and I would just reiterate, Iowa State's advantage is always going to be in the numbers. So even buying a season ticket, you may think, what does that do? It shows. It shows. Or buying merchandise. All that stuff adds up. to try and when you're establishing a pecking order, which will happen in the next 3 to 4 years, you want to give Iowa State every opportunity to get there, because once it's established, you can stay there for a while. It's a critical time for Iowa State.
Good conversation.
Yeah, no, it is.
Shout out to our guy Colin Newell. It's the foundation of that Iowa State line.
I saw Colin this week. Had a nice chat.
Where'd you see him?
We're just discussing some social media plans for advertising. He almost needs another person to try and keep up. That's how good it's been for him.
Really?
Yeah.
That's fantastic. That's
awesome. But he's doing great, but he's also like, man, the more the better.
So send him his way.
Yeah.
I would like you to, this is the easiest way to do it. I could give you the long address, but it's not.
He's helping out a lot of people.
Just Google.
Yeah.
Colin Newell, Farm Bureau Financial Services. It'll take you right to his website. Get his email, get his phone number, all that stuff. He's saving Bloom hundreds of dollars. Yeah, I'm going to get all my stuff switched over soon.
$600,
haven't had time to do it. And then he's also, for everybody he meets with, he's making a donation to We Will. Great guy, great Matt Campbell guy, great Cyclone. Shout out to our guy, Colin Newell. And it is time for our Wiffles Hybrids Big 12 section of the program, where we're going to talk about Colorado potentially coming back to the Big 12. I saw Wiffles signs. So, again, I drove down to the Ozarks.
Yeah.
Man, they're all over the place in Missouri, too.
Our farmland's better than theirs.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, come on. You want to talk about pecking orders? You want to talk about soil?
Destroying the Missouri soil. Where do they even grow down there?
No, like it's
where does Missouri grow?
It's interesting because we do we're partners with Wiffles now.
Crops in Missouri.
So I start to pay more attention to what signage does that field have? There's just Wiffles ones everywhere.
I love it.
They're just all over the place right now. Shout out to them. Fiercely independent, our friends at Wiffles Hybrids.
They do soybean and corn. Not as good as we do, but that's what they do. I bet their extension is nowhere near our extension office, elite extension office at Iowa State.
Big extension guy.
Yeah? I am. 99 counties, every one of them.
So I'm going to see what this guy does. His name is Jeff Fuller.
Solid name.
This was sent to me, and it's pretty cool. Whoever the hell this guy is, he's located in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Huge college football nerd. Does a bunch of economics of college football, all that stuff. Puts out this tweet, and all the Big 12 knuckleheads like me got a hold of it.
Okay,
and he did an analysis on Colorado since leaving the Pac-12 revenue.
Since leaving the Big 12.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Joining the Pac-12. Yep. I'm just going to read you the tweet here. Again, this is our guy, Jeff Fuller. Oh, my God. The dog farted. Did you smell that?
I'm okay in my section.
Oh, you just wait. Dirks!
Did you bring him with? Did you bring him with?
Oh, my God, Dirks. Or what did you eat?
Or did he go to the...
It's like he ate a rabbit or something.
Did he go with you to those
Yeah, he
arcs?
Went down there.
Okay.
Yeah.
What did he get, like, that Missouri food?
Oh, my God, buddy. God bless you.
Have some of that Missouri moonshine. Right.
Back to our friend Jeff Fuller. Since joining the Pac-12 in 2011, Colorado has received $56 million less in conference distributions than if they had stayed in the Big 12.
Yikes.
Maybe that's small in comparison to full school budgets, but that's not insignificant to an athletic director who is trying to keep a depth in the black. And he also goes on to make the point. There's a whole thread about it here. This is one of those long threads, right?
Yep.
He also points out that revenue is probably down as far as attendance goes, too. They haven't been as good, and opposing schools don't travel in the Pac-12 like they do in the Big 12. I just found that was a really staggering statistic, because you thought at the time...
That's why they left.
Yeah.
Well, they want to be like-minded institutions.
Yeah, well, we've seen how that's worked out for them right now. And so I always thought Colorado would be the first to jump, and this is why. I didn't have this data until today, but it's easier to jump when you know what you're missing out on, right? Like when you go, God dang, this sucks. Like we've been somewhere else. We liked it there more. We were more successful there. this isn't all it was cracked up to be. And in this case, you can come home again. And Brett Yormark would love to have you. This is why I think they'll come back, because the other ones, it's like, well, Arizona doesn't know anything but the Pac-12. It is a massive
Big 12, right. Arizona doesn't know anything about the Big 12.
They don't know anything but the Pac-12. It's the only place they've ever been.
Yep.
It's a bigger leap for them.
Right. It's only been 10 years for Colorado. Yeah.
I mean, Colorado's the, you know, the Generation Z. They job hop. You know, right. They don't stay in the same place. It's the girl from high school. She likes to date around. She likes to, you know, I'm going to go on a date with that guy.
Play the feud.
I'm going to break up with him. I'm going to date this guy now. That's Colorado. They've been around.
And now you want to go back to your ex from high school who now owns a company.
They know. They've done both. And I also think that there's a bit of the, you know, Colorado, I think, has a much higher upside in the Big 12 now than it ever did because the new Big 12 thing, right?
I would agree. But then you have to factor in here, and it's not the current AD, but is that a... You know, is that a slap in the face if they have to backtrack and do the, you know, do that Sunday morning walk home, the walk of shame back?
What do you think a Colorado fan wants?
I don't know what they want. Like,
the rivalries with Iowa State and Kansas State matter anymore? Like, is that even a thing?
So why they were so interested in the Pac-12 to begin with? Because apparently, student wise, they pull a lot from California.
Yeah, Boulder's a very popular place.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I understand that. So that part is still the same. Like, I think you can look at that $60 million. Is that the number that
Mr. $56 million.
I'd be interested, you know, if you look at the bigger picture of what Colorado's academic enrollment and money brought in for being a part of the Pac-12, if that has changed at all. Because that's the other part. It's like, athletics are still a very small section of the budget. And supposedly Colorado wanted to join the Pac-12 because it wanted to be around like-minded institutions like Berkeley and USC and UCLA. Well, a lot of those are leaving now. And so what are you left with? And if you're paying Deion Sanders, which they are, $5.5 million per year, that's a lot of money. Like, eventually, if you want to win and you want to be competitive in the Power 5, you're going to have to move. And I ultimately do think they do. But it's also that... You know, that uncomfortable thing of, oh, did we make a mistake? You know, we don't want to be the losers that have to come back. But ultimately, money talks.
He also listed a couple of other places where they've lost money. So they had like a $7 million exit fee when they left the
Big
12. Well,
that's the thing, is they didn't get money right away.
Correct. And so then at a lower, I believe there was an escalator in there. So they also gave up their Tier 3 rights, which they wouldn't have in the Big 12, which he estimates $3 to $5 million a year. That seems generous to me for Colorado, but this guy's smarter than me.
Yeah, it's probably right around there.
And then they also had to give back $5.7 million to Comcast for an overpayment. That was the Larry Scott.
What a nightmare.
Deal that's been going on out
there. That is unbelievable mismanagement out of that whole thing.
So he estimates right now that it's $56 million. He thinks it's actually going to be closer to $100 million. By the time, so it's really been a financial disaster.
Well, then the part of it is, if the numbers are what we think they are going to be, and let's say the Pac-12, as it currently stands, signs an extension, a short term would be, but they'd probably be $7 to $10 million less than the Big 12. So if you do that over 5 years, there's another $50 million where you're behind K-State and Iowa State.
Yeah.
And man, I mean, if you're all Arizona and Colorado, I don't know how you can make that work. Like, you're it's one thing if it's USC and UCLA that are burying you in the Big Ten. It's another if it's your neighbors just to the east who are getting 10, 12, 15 million more than you. There's no way they can make that work. Because honestly, at this point, the reputation of the Big 12 is better than what exists in the Pac-12. And they'd be silly not to join.
One of these nights, we're going to be having the emergency
pod. It's going to happen. I mean, it's just... If you see the rhetoric, it's starting to shift of, well, you know, we still want to stick together, but ultimately we have to make a business decision. Like, you've seen that now for both Arizona and Colorado. Yeah. Yeah. It's the same thing we saw from Colorado and Nebraska and Missouri 13 years ago.
And then Texas A&M just flipped everybody off. But
they did, but they could. Yeah. That's what they do.
All right. Well, I hope you guys had an awesome long weekend with your families. We certainly did. The 100th episode of Title IX coming up this week.
No way!
Congratulations to them. Great job,
Steph,
ladies.
Yeah.
We have a new I forgot to. Woody and Stansberry are doing a weekly show now.
It's only on a Tuesday.
Yep. We're making moves. We'll have another announcement here for you in a few weeks.
Look out. Summer's not quiet entirely.
Little English taking you out. Have a great week.
Cheers. Cheers.